This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello everybody and welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. It is Darren Cleary here with you this week. There's no Stephen Duty. We always knew this day would come with Duty, where he'd walk into the AUL and say, enough is enough. I've taken you as far as I can go and I'm done with your podcast. And that day has come. But we've managed to keep him around a little bit longer, but I regret to inform you it is Duty's last day on the 1895 Podcast. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Dazzler. This is weird, but on the other end of this.
It is weird. But one man who hasn't left us in the lurch and just decided to fuck off because he's sick of us is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Darren. Hello, Duty. I'd just like to formally announce my departure from the 1895 Podcast.
Look, we are probably going to be a bit of a Duty indulgent celebration reflection podcast. This is your life this week, because otherwise we'd have to talk about losing a game for the third time in the same way. So if you want to hear us react to a game where we have a good patch, should probably win it, and then absolutely blow ourselves up, listen to the podcast after the Pats game, or the podcast after the Dundalk game, or the podcast after Rovers at home.
I'd actually just like to say I would prefer to do that, actually.
No, Duty, you're getting it. This is your life. You're the rock now.
This is your life. So we're going to do something for the next 40 minutes. And if you don't like nostalgia, switch off now. We are going to do the Duties, which is the 1895 equivalent of the Dundies, where we're going to hand out a few awards. And Duty is going to be the kingmaker. He's going to get to decide who wins some of these duties. So,
just before we move on, I got a text off you today at, I'm going to give the exact time here. Where are we here? At 4:30 today, we were due to record at 5. Basically, you saying you're hijacking this podcast and you were taking over. So I have no idea what's coming. If I offend anyone by saying anything stupid, which I'm liable to do with my nerves, as you lads will well know, I apologise in advance.
Should we explain to people why you're leaving?
Yeah, it's not in...
You're not like sexually disgraced.
No. Oh, Christ almighty. No, I'm not leaving.
Not the pedo.
Because his planet needs him. Goodbye, Putin. I mean, Duty.
I am not leaving in disgrace.
Yeah,
we all thought it would happen that way, but no. I haven't been cancelled, nothing like that. I have basically stumbled into another role in the club that I feel I wouldn't be able to do the pod justice. So that's basically the reason why. Pretty sad. I'm way more sad than I thought. I literally ran back downstairs there to get me headphones. I said to Vanessa, geez, this is the last one of these I'm doing. So yeah, it's a bit sad, but I haven't left in disgrace. I'm not like moving away or leaving the club or anything like that. I'll still be knocking around, unfortunately, for you all.
My notes here says, wish Duty well at hospital with his anal cyst.
Jesus Christ.
No, you're going to be working with Martin Doyle on the analysis side. We wish you well in your new role. There is a bit of you let Dougal do a funeral.
I can assure you, I am a lot more comfortable in a video role than I am in a podcast and host role. I can tell you that now for a fact.
Hold on, I can tell you that's completely wrong because you've chopped off the heads of multiple players.
Well, I don't have to, you know, I'm just panning the camera side to side, so you can't really make a mess of that. I'm actually surprised there's not some kind of robot or something like that could do it instead. Train monkey, you know, something along them lines. But yeah, that's basically what I'm going to do. You'll see me, some of you will have seen me miserably trudging across the pitch in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, that's why.
So Duty's leaving us. This is his last pod. Ben, you're not going anywhere.
I mean,
You're here forever, and we will announce a new presenting lineup for the 1895 podcast in the coming weeks. We'll have a break next week, but we'll celebrate the end of Doody's reign of terror with the Doodies and a whole heap of awards to give out. Among the awards, lads, to get thinking about, we are going to have the best player of the last 5 years, the worst player of the last 5 years.
Oh, God.
The next former Shells player that should play for Ireland, the highest of the high, the lowest of the low, your favourite goal, the That Didn't Happen award, most embarrassing moment for the club and for you personally, the We Let Him Go Too Soon award, which will be probably won by Bemi Aroubi, and the We Kept Him Far Too Long award, which let's see who'll win that. You have your worst away day, the We're So Back Moment Award, the Limbs and Talca Award, the Grown Man Meltdown Award, and the Bushiest Beaver Award. Sorry, that's his busiest beaver award. So that's all to come between now and the end of the 1895 podcast. But we will get straight into it. Are you ready to handle some duties?
Yeah, I sincerely hope you're going to give options for these awards, because my memory is brutal.
Well, Ben will help with some...
Will I?
Well, yes. My work here is done. What do you mean? You didn't do anything. Ben will help. He will give you some guidelines, some nominees, and then you get to pick the winner, because it is the Doodies.
Just so, again, so everyone knows, I also got this at the same time as Doody. But I actually read it a bit later, so I didn't realize until about 5 minutes before we start recording that this was happening.
Well, okay, well, we can, if you would rather settle yourself by talking about us losing to Derry, we could do that either.
No, you're all right. Yeah, go on, push on.
Let's get the duties out.
So we'll start with the Bushiest Beaver Award, Busiest Beaver Award, I should say. So who in the League of Ireland football, this doesn't have to be Shells, was just a bit annoying. Who's the Randall of the last 5 years? Just a bit busy, gets in everyone's ears, bit of a head melt. Kind of annoyed you, but also you'd miss him if he wasn't there because you wouldn't have anyone to dislike.
Jeez, do we have to have one?
Me, you can name a few. You can give a few nominations.
The nominees are Doody.
Oh, jeez.
The man with lots of videotapes.
Well, yeah, actually. There's a certain self-indulgent commentator comes to mind.
Yeah. A certain self-indulgent photographer comes to mind.
Yes. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, yeah.
Look at me, I'm great. Yeah,
I think it could be the videotape man.
And Doody has settled his first few.
No, can we let all the demons out of the closet now? Like, can we kind of go back over mad stuff that's happened?
Some mad stuff. Not too, you know, anything that had a legal threat, maybe we'll avoid.
Right, okay. All right, we'll stay away from that. I think it could be videotape enthusiasts.
And there's lots of them.
Yeah, it's a very strange kind of phenomenon, this... Another recent, kind of more recent account has popped up at it as well, where like the content is great, but just I feel the people who stumble on this content or own the content, whatever it might be, they feel like they kind of have license to be a dose bag just because they have all these good clips knocking around. And yeah, I wouldn't be into that. The self-indulgent commentator is very, very close though. Look at all the research I do. Oh,
we get it. You go to Easton's and buy a lot of highlighters. Grow up.
Don't mind people being professional and doing their jobs properly, but it should come across in your commentary. You shouldn't have to slam it in everyone's face about all the work you're doing.
For the sake of doing your job. Don't do it for praise.
Yeah, exactly. Be humble.
Particular person also quote tweets every compliment rather than just replying to it, so that everyone has to see every compliment.
Yeah, I'm still going to stick with videotape enthusiasts.
Well, that is the first award. The Busiest Beaver goes to the videotape man.
And the duty goes to...
The next duty we have, it's the We're So Back Moment Duty Award. So what was the moment over the last 5 years? And I'm picking from the start of the 2020 season. That's when this starts, up until today, where you said, we're so back.
You could probably go a couple of routes with this one, really. You could go, like, was it a result, a specific moment, just a, like, Damien Duff being announced as the Shells manager. That was a definite kind of we're back type of moment. Carabag and Talca, very mad experience that you're going, Jesus, this is the real deal. This is serious stuff. What else would there be? Sellouts in Talca, I think you'd have to throw that in, because we didn't really sell Talca out when we were shit hot in the early 90s either. That's certain to be up there.
Go on. A weird one I'll throw into you. When they closed Richmond Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, half and half scarves, although I despise them. I think if you're dishing out half and half scarves, you're definitely in the big time. Having to, you'll remember this one, Dazzler, having to search high and low in Talca for old chairs to put up in the press box because we needed to have an overflow for the Linfield game. That was probably one. This is a difficult one, actually. But I mean, is the most obvious answer not winning the league?
Yeah, but that would be the answer for every question. So I'll only give you one award can go to winning the league. So you can use that for the We're So Back moment, but that's it. You can only use it once.
No, I won't use it now.
Beauty,
I don't want to go too soon.
What about results-wise? Like, one that sticks out to me is the last game of the season. Was it 2 years ago in Drogheda, the 4-2?
Yeah, the one that confirmed Europe, and then
yeah,
we got to enjoy it after about 20 minutes, and then Damien Duff went on an absolute mad one in the press after it. That particular, that is a good one. No, I have an answer. My answer is the home game against St. Joseph's.
That's a big one.
That was
Marvel.
That was, like, that was emotional. I was on the commentary in that one with Stewie Byrne, and I legit had to stop talking as the teams were walking out because I got really, really emotional. Because you know yourselves, you're so far away from that, like in 2016, 17, even when we got promoted and Duffer took over, like, you're still so far away from those kind of moments. But I'm going to go with Joseph's at home.
I think that's a great show because, dude, you know, like, we've looked at, and Darren, yourself as well, the challenge was set about teams of the last 10 years and beyond. And look, we've struggled through some hard times. I think you'll agree. Like, we've come a long way. So I think that is, like, when you get back to that European football in Talca Park, that is the pinnacle of it for me, I think.
The one that I would, and look, Duty, you get to give out the award, so you've given your duty to the St. Joseph's game for the We're So Back moment. The one that does it for me was Bowes in the Cup in 2022. Sun is shining, Moylan scores, he shows he's a big game player. We battered him, absolutely sweeped him aside. Talca is rammed, like, dangerously rammed, like, called the fire marshal. We've oversold the place round. And it was just like, yeah, this is, we are so back.
Oh, yeah. I see. I'm not giving it to that game because those scruffs were in the ground. Yeah. So I won't allow them to be part of any of the joy here. So, no, I'm sticking with Joseph's at home.
That's fair. So we've given out two duties already. The next one.
When did they arrive, actually?
When did the duties arrive? I'll buy a little trophy. I'll get someone to 3D model you on top.
No problem.
The next one we're going to give out, it's a pretty simple one. The song that always makes you think of Talca. So it's probably something that you know, you hear and you think, like, Robbie Williams, Let Me Entertain You. It's 2004.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. See, Mark, like, this, now you have to go nostalgia because, like, it's not modern day, you know, it's not, it doesn't hit the same as when you're younger, I don't think. You don't remember those little details, especially now because we'd be busy. Oh, I think Aslan are definitely up there.
Crazy world.
Yes, definitely Aslan is up there. I think I'm going to go Sunshine.
Dario G?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Sunshine because it used to come on just before the teams would come out. You'd be kind of getting amped up. It'd be followed by Bring Out the Champions, belting out from the newsstand. Yeah, it's a tie-up between that and La Bamba being belted out every time Jay would score. Is there any modern, Ben, am I missing any, like, is there any songs now? It's not as consistent now, I don't think. Like, it's kind of a mishmash, like, it's different every week, whereas before, in the early 2000s, it was like clockwork. Same song came on first, same song came on last.
I mean, that's because they ran through the same CD.
Exactly. That's what I mean, though. That's what I mean. Now it's like a Spotify playlist. You can just randomly put stuff on. Actually, do you know?
Dude, you know Red Sails, no?
You're literally after taking the words out of my mouth. Red Sails is definitely one. It followed so much misery in Tolka. That, yeah. Oh.
What about Caravan of Love?
Oh, there was another stinking song that came on after a bad result. What was that?
Hotel California.
Yes, and the away crowd start belting it out.
You should have a duty for wins Carl Phillips ruined by putting on dogs on. Caravan of Love came on just after we beat Balls.
Yeah, look, it's not a bad song, but...
Woman.
No, I'm gonna go Dario G.
Dario G.
I am going to go Dario G, yeah.
Duty. Sorry. How have you not stumbling in?
See, it's not at all. Yeah. That only got a couple of errands in Tolka. That was more of a...
That was more of an us.
Yeah, that was more of an in kind of thing, I think. It made its way into a Shell's hype video, though, which is impressive.
You got to indulge yourself somehow, Duty. Well, we're going to give the award to Sunshine. Honourable mention for Pigback. You miss Pigback.
Yeah, that doesn't bring me back the same way.
He doesn't like Big Bag. Give us your award for the We Let Him Go Too Soon.
I'm going to... Like, there's obvious ones there. There's Bemmy and Ruby. I'm not sure the circumstances around Keane Levy going. I don't think that was a We Let Him Go. I think it was a He Went... More so, he would definitely be in the conversation. And we're only focusing on the last 5 years, so the one that jumped straight into my head, because it's very recent, is Mark Coyle.
That's a very good shout, yeah.
Yeah, I just think at the moment, the way things are, and we're trying to stay away from the moment now, but I think a Coyler would... definitely help the situation here. I think of Drogheda it away in, was that 2024? I think that's, yeah, where he, like that goal, there's no skill in that goal at all. It's just pure and utter run and something happen. Trying to think of other kind of, Sean McSweeney?
You think we let Sean McSweeney?
Well, I'm trying to think of some honourable mentions here.
Gerardo Bruna.
What?
Really, you forgot Jad.
Yeah, Jad, don't think he's in the same mold as Bemmy, really, isn't he? Like, Jad doesn't get to be as good.
He's a different player.
Yeah.
Like, he is now than he was when he left.
I'm still trying to think now of kind of other recent ones that have left. See, if I hadn't known, I would have had a full list of the departures in the last couple of years, and I would have...
You would have done your work. Well, let me throw two at you. Dale Rooney, Ryan Brennan?
Not Dale Rooney, no, definitely not.
You don't think we let
him? No,
no. We tried to bring him back in
22 or 23. Yeah, I wasn't in favour of that then. Wouldn't be in favour of it now. He served his purpose. No, definitely not. Ryan Brennan, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I think Ryan came on the wrong side of the duffer having to make a few big calls when he came in. In that, you know, this fella's very popular. He wasn't in peak physical shape at the time. I think I've put that a nice way.
Very diplomatic.
Yeah.
Very unlikely, Davey.
But yeah. Yeah, he was a big fat bastard.
Clip it. Send it to Ryan Brennan.
He wasn't. No, but I don't think he fit into what Duffer was trying to do. But having said that, there was times that year where you were kind of looking for a bit of panache, a bit of something off the cuff that definitely Ryan Brennan would give you. But I kind of stick with Coyler. I am, because I just think now you could really deal with that type of aggression, that kind of, it's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be effective.
And the duty for the We Let Him Go Too Soon award goes to number 8, Mark Coyle.
Ever hooked.
Tell you while you're now, boys. Good luck. Go. Doing the veil. Don't get on nervous.
Still one of the funniest moments in talking.
We'll get to that, Ben. We'll get to that in the Surreal Moment Award. The We Kept Him Too Long Award seems like a fitting one to follow that one. Someone who we probably should have launched but kept for a while.
Oh, Lord Almighty, that's difficult. You got any options to throw at me? Have you done any research here at all?
I'm going to go with Shane Farrell.
He did pop into my head, definitely.
Yeah, nothing against Farrell, but I think that last year it wasn't the type of football that suited him. He kind of needed to just go out and, you know, play and, you know, do stuff when it suited him. I don't think he was really in for structured and playing a certain way. I don't think it suited him.
Well, I mean, questions need to be asked about Keith Ward.
Oh, Lord.
I think we have to explain that joke because there's people who mightn't get it.
Basically, obviously, we do the question box every week, and we were in a difficult moment. It was the title year, sure. Yeah, that was the year Wardy was there and he left halfway. But we had a difficult run, like nothing tragic, but we were struggling a little bit for a couple of weeks. And
we won 7 games in a row. Yeah,
we got a comment into the question box saying questions need to be asked as to why Keith Ward is not playing in this team. Now, I like Keith Ward. He was a great character, but Jesus Christ, he was not going to add anything on the pitch. Nothing at all.
Even Keith Ward laughed at that question.
Yeah, he did. I'm still trying to think now of fellas that kind of hung around that you're kind of going, here, well, what's going on here? How long did Harry Fisk stay around after the UCD game?
A matter of weeks.
Oh, he left at the end of the year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Scott Van Der Sloot leaving for Love Island was kind of funny.
I'm actually going to say Harry Fisk should have been launched out of the stadium, just launched straight back to the UK after the UCD game. Where is he now?
I'd like to give ask. To Stan. Stan played Premier League football under us. He was. What? Where is he now? Carphone Warehouse.
There probably has to be a mention for Dan Carr there as well.
Did Dan Carr get more than a year?
I think, did he not?
The year was too kind to Dan Carr.
This is one, actually, this will be a very unpopular answer, but, I mean, the writing was on the wall, and when he was at it, he's one of my favourite Shells player, and we don't win a league without him. We certainly don't qualify for Europe without him that year before. Matty Smith.
You think we should get rid of him soon?
He was just always injured.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. You trying to have another feud with Matty Smith?
No, one is enough.
Yeah, I think there's way worse options.
Yeah, there is. Don't mind me. I'm just trying to fucking fill time here.
You want to tell? I think now is your chance to tell your story, tell your truth. Was Matty Smith your first player feud?
No, J.R. Wilson was my first player feud. Have we not done this on the pod before, no?
I don't think we have.
No, I don't think we've gotten into detail.
Right, well, I'm going to start these two stories off by saying we've buried the hatchet on both ends. So I like JR's a great fella. I genuinely hope he does very, very well with Dundalk. Matty's the same with whatever he's doing now. Matty's a great fella. But the JR one, again, he had a couple of weeks where he was stinking. I was new to this podcast stuff. Didn't realise anyone actually listened, really. let alone players listened. So I said that if JR Wilson continued playing the way he was playing, he would be doing well to play in the Leinster Senior League, never mind playing Premier Division football. And shock horror, JR wasn't happy. And I think he got on to you, Dazzler, didn't he?
They always get on to me, Dooley, unfortunately.
Yeah,
like,
so...
Every time you do something wrong, someone texts me to tell me what a dope you are. And I'm like, just text me this.
Well, I'm interested now to know how JR approached it with you. Like, is it literally just this big rage and text, or...
No, he's actually a phone call man. I think it was a call.
That's bizarre. I learned a very... Well, I didn't learn the lesson, obviously, because I had another feud after that with another player, but I thought at the time I had learned that, players can take stuff to heart. Now, and I think at the moment people need to realise that as well.
His point was, will you tell him I only had a baby like 4 weeks ago and I'm not sleeping and I'm still working? And
which I didn't know at the time. That information would have helped in my criticism. The other one was Matty Smith. I was wrong what I said about JR, 100%. But I refuse. I was not wrong in the Matty Smith case. Basically, what happened was we've done an interview with Boydie, I believe it was. And I was asking him basically about points we had left behind over the course of the season. Now, this was 23, was it? Or 24? When did Matty Smith sign?
He signed in 22 in the summer.
So I think it was 23 then, yeah. The first game of the season, we played Drogheda 0-0. And later in the season, I was talking to Boydie in an interview and I said to him, we've left points behind. Like, there's so many games that, like, you know, we've missed great chances. Like, we've given silly goals away, blah, 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 blah. And I said something along the lines of, there's been games where we've literally missed open goals. And I kind of hesitated because I couldn't remember who it was. And I was kind of going, yeah, there's been a couple of games like that. And he said, Matty Smith. So, Dazzler, I'll let you take over on this one.
I think this was a text or maybe it was an Instagram message, but needless to say, not very happy. At the time, he was out injured, and injured players...
To my point.
Yeah, they're not... they probably feel a little bit sensitive and a little bit nervous, and here's Duty burying them to the world and to their teammates, and... The general consensus was tell him to keep his fucking name out of my mouth, and I think that might have been a close to direct quote.
He went full Will Smith.
Yeah, he did. And then I think there were words were had at the next game, which I think was UCD away. And I remember how nervous you were to see him.
I'm the most unconfrontational person in the world. I hate confrontation. I don't like it. But at the same time, I was on eggshells around Matty after that, because for all he knew, I didn't know that he had gone on a mad one to you. But we played a game in UCD. Matty was injured. And you said to me, if you're planning to say anything to Matty, like, today's probably a good time because he's not involved and, you know, you're not going to rattle him the day of a game, blah, 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 blah. So I sat in the bowl in UCD, sweat profusely for ages at the thoughts of it, had the conversation in my head over and over and over, like, what am I going to say? How do I go at this? So, yeah, I had the conversation. I just said, Matty, can I grab you? It got back to me there that, like, you weren't happy about what I said, but blah, blah, blah. And I told him the story I just told you, that I didn't actually say it. I may have talked about it. Yeah, well, look, he's more able to deal with it than I was. And, Matty was like, apologised to him. And he was like, no, look, I'm just frustrated. Blah, 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 and then that was it. But I don't know if he ever really did forgive me or move on from it. But yeah, they were my two. That's it, isn't it? They're the only two.
There was one more last year. Around this time last year.
Oh, Christ.
I won't.
No, we're not doing that one.
We won't get into that one. We'll save that one. That's my particular favourite feud you have.
It's all from mine. I found it hilarious.
It would be everyone's, but someday, when you write the book, Dazzler, it'll be in there.
It most certainly will be in there. Dude, he also got done with a prank call. Similar, another Wilson started a feud, which...
Ooh. Yeah, I wasn't sure whether we could go with this one. Can we go with this one?
Yeah. It's your last day. What are they going to do, sack you?
Yeah, true. I was driving along, working away, got a phone call off a number I didn't know. So most people wouldn't answer it. I do have to answer for work because it can just be people ringing off different phones, blah, blah, blah. So I answered it and I got greeted with, hey, is that Steve? He said, it is, yeah. And I knew something was up then because nobody in work would call me that. So then it was, oh, it's Tyreek Wilson here. And my heart sunk straight away. I was getting flashbacks of JR. And I was going, oh no, what have I done? And I knew Tyreek had maybe not a baby at that stage, but had a little girl and stuff. And I was going, oh, don't tell me. I've said he's not playing well and something's going on at home or blah, 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 blah. So he said, I believe you've been kind to me on your podcast. I was like, why? Actually, there's something that happened. There was a particular incident he was alluding to, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was out injured. There was a big song and dance about how he got injured. He got injured in preseason, and I don't know, it was like private exercise time or whatever. And then he had like deleted everything off his Instagram account and taken shells out of the bio and put up one of those mysterious stories. And it was a bit like, oh, this is a bit... bit weird. And then off the back of that, I think you might have politely unharshly caned on the podcast about people getting stupid injuries.
That's what it was.
Yeah
So he proceeded to give me both barrels about you better stop fucking talking about me on there, like don't ever mention me again, you don't know what's going on with me and blah. And he gave me both barrels. And then he said, like, is that stuff you're saying about me true? Is that what you've actually said? And in a rare moment of defiance from me, I went, well, yeah, I think it is true. And then there was just this very, very awkward silence. And then, like, a complete eruption of laughter. And then, like, laughter as if, like, 100 people were all laughing at the same time. And then all I heard was him on the end of the phone going, I'm so sorry. And he hung up. So it turned out that I was a forfeit, basically, among the players. What, did he do something or did he, was part of a fine or something, was it? I can't remember the exact.
So Duffer was a man for prank phone calls, believe it or not. he would often do it as effectively a forfeit day where you either paid your money or you took whatever the forfeit was. I think one of them was either Mark Coyle or Sean Boyd ringing the late great Ollie Horgan and telling him he missed them and he hoped his life was well and just saying creepy things to them. One of them, I think, was Harry Wood called Johnny Watson looking for 20 jerseys. All his family were coming over and he needed 20 jerseys with his name and number on the back. And you know, oh, Johnny, I'll do the best I can, pal, but I don't think I can do that. Oh, there's a few of them.
But yeah, I came out on the wrong end of one. And to be fair to Tyreek, he sent me a very nice message afterwards being like, sorry, like you are part of the whatever they called it. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, but it was a very nervy, like, 8 seconds, I'd say the pause was for, just of complete silence. And in that 8 seconds, my entire life went before me. I was like, oh my God, I'm after telling them it was all true that he was stupid to get injured. What is fucking going on here? And then, yeah, I did. The laughter then, I kind of went, right, that certainly sounds like a bunch of adult footballers laughing at me. So,
yeah,
we all survived.
Man management, to be fair, he was probably was feeling a bit down, dumb, sorry for himself. And then they turned around, made a good joke of it. So have we actually given that we kept them too long award to anyone there?
No, there was an awful lot of waffling there.
Yeah. Just give it to Farrell.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, safe bet.
Shane Farrell, congratulations. You win the first inaugural Duty We Kept Them Too Long award. The next award we are going to give to the best player of the last 5 years. Tough this.
That's a stinker of a question.
Oh, straight away into my head has come Paddy Barrett. He definitely jumped straight in there. If you're going off pure like football, just bit of recency bias probably, but Jack Henry Francis probably has to come into the conversation. Jarvo, H, like,
sorry, how did it take you so long to mention H? Like, he's been here since 2023.
Well, sorry, but I mean, sorry I didn't do it your way, but I mean, I'm given. Hang on a second here.
You won the league in 24.
This is about me.
Best player in 25.
Now on to the Lions.
It's about me, not you. So
these are your awards. Tell him to go away.
I'm glad you're leaving this podcast. You don't have a fucking clue what you're talking
about. How's it only taking you 3 years to realise that? Fuck's sake.
Jack Henry Francis here about 7 minutes. And no, he's what, already.
My two. There is two. It's Harry Wood and Moylan for me.
But dude, we can't make two awards.
Just for the impact Moylan had and the time he wasn't here that long, but he just done so much in that short amount of time. He's a very, very close second, but Harry Wood is definitely the best player in the last 5 years.
It's amazing how easy it is to bully Doody, Ben, isn't he? Just kind of shout at him when he says...
Any kind of confrontation. Doody just spent 20 minutes saying how he hates confrontation. Yeah. Confrontatory. I'm so sorry. I'm back to
surprised you didn't give it to Matty Smith just to keep the peace.
Ah, where is he now?
You can't say that, Doody. worst player of the last 5 years. Boy, we have some.
Oof.
There's a few options.
Josh McGurgy comes into my brain straight away.
Stan.
Yeah, I see. Stan had his moment in Cabin Thiele where he didn't actually do anything, but he was just like, you'd remember that game or that day. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking more fellas who you'd nearly look at and go, how, like, who is this lad? How would it even play for us? He didn't play, so I don't think you can give it to him. I actually think
the award after him.
I George is definitely there. Dan Carr is definitely there. But the one I think, because he did play quite a lot, I'm gonna go Aaron O'Driscoll. He was dog shit for us, really bad. He played 25 games that year.
Jordan McAniff has to be up there. Like, he is a complete jobber. Where is he now?
He's playing for Larne up north.
Yeah,
exactly. Jobber.
Jobber. I can't believe you've missed the easy one. Like, this is the Carl Shepherd All Day Long Award.
Was he within the last 5 years, though?
I said it was 2020 to today, so.
Piss off. You said 5 years.
Yeah, but I said 5 years.
Well, if you're saying that, if you're changing now, we have to go back over all of it.
No, we don't have to go back over.
Exactly. So we won't be doing that.
So who are you giving it to? It's.
I'm actually, Lewis Webb should be mentioned here as well.
Oh, he was so shit.
He was woeful. But no, for the amount of games he played, I don't think he was as bad as he showed in that year. But I'm going to say Aaron O'Driscoll.
Dude, you actually picked the winner. It should have been Lewis Webb.
Yeah, it should have been Webb.
And Clarkey wasn't in the team. We had Clarkey there. Like, I don't know.
But there's something about a player who just disappears to the other side of the world after they've played here. Now, I like to think he left because he was so bad that he moved to New Zealand out of shame.
Dude, what about the bloke that saw you get the keys to your house?
Adam Thomas.
Adam Thomas, Jesus Christ, yeah. Oh.
He had one brilliant game up in Daly Mount and then everything else was atrocious.
Didn't he play wing back or something in Daly Mount? Yeah. Something fucking ridiculous.
He gave the jerseys away after a 1-1 draw. Threw the jerseys into the crowd. Johnny was in there looking for them back.
Do you know somebody else who was absolute dirt and now has totally turned it around, and in fairness to the fella, I know he was in his last year of college and stuff at the time. Andy Quinn was septic for us.
Oh, he was atrocious.
And he's brilliant. He's been brilliant ever since. But that man's career was... Does Ray Tulloch get an honourable mention here?
He scored a lot of important goals in that run.
But he came with so much, like... when we signed him, I was like, oh my God, we're going to sell this fella for a million. There's no doubt about it. And then all he did was play bleeding poker on his phone and pop up with ridiculous goals.
That's not true, dude. He threatened to murder someone in Drogheda.
He did. I wet you. Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Oh, time's ticking on here. I was still on the worst player.
Yeah.
No, I'm not giving it to Aaron O'Driscoll. That's harsh. Lewis Webb.
Lewis Webb. Congratulations to Lewis Webb. You could probably give it to Yo-Yo Matty either.
Last 5 years.
Yo-Yo Matty played here in the last 5 years.
I don't think he did he?
Played here in 2021. It's 2026 now, but like...
Go ahead with that. Technicalities. Go on. It's Lewis Webb.
We're giving it... Give it away by end of season. It's always on loan goalkeepers, isn't it? Brad Jones, you're out there. Could have given it to Paul Skinner either, but it would have been a bit harsh.
Christ almighty.
We're going to give it to Lewis Webb. Give us your favourite goal.
You can't say H and Derry.
Well, you can. You can use it once, Ben. You can either use it, but if you use it, it's...
No, it's too obvious. It's too obvious. My two are... Moylan in the cup against Bowles, definitely up there. Kerr in Dalymount.
That has to win.
I mean, you were the only two there from the media end of things, and it was just it's Kerr in Dalymount, 100%.
Dude, I'm gonna throw one out there that'll bring back good memories for you. John Martin in Rijeka.
The reason that's number three is Moylan, and number one is Kerr.
Have you ever told the story of John Martin Rijeka? I assume you have.
About nearly dying trying to get out of the stand after it.
Yeah, the circumstances, and if you listen back on the broadcast, you're going to hear a certain get the graphic.
Yeah, I was the unfortunate soul that had to commentate on it. And the commentary position was just right in the middle of the home stand. Now, usually, if you're in the home stand, you're like, we'll be grand here. Like, it's all L lads and stuff like that. But the Croatians are quite partisan. They're mental, actually, is probably the best word for it. But Juan Martin obviously scores the header. But before the ball had come in, you're heard on that commentary saying to Reggie, get the graphic, meaning get the goal graphic, we're about to score. Magic ensues, and Juan Martin pops up to score that goal that like sets off the funniest scenes in a stand I've ever seen at a Shells game. People literally hanging like monkeys from the cage in Rijeka. Unbelievable stuff. But you and Reggie bolted as soon as the final whistle went.
Yeah, we had media duties.
Yeah, I was left on my own. You know, you have to close out the fucking stream and all that. And then I was in Shell's gear, of course, faced with the daunting walk through the home stand while they were booing their own players off and, like, really aggressive. Like, you're talking, like, kids, elderly women, like, frothing at the mouth, angry. And some bloke said something to me in Croatian. I don't know what he said. And I laughed.
Oh, no.
When I definitely shouldn't have laughed. And this old boy started coming over the seats. And I was like, get me out of here. Not a steward or a policeman to be seen. So I effectively ran out of the stand to get away from a really angry pensioner.
So is that your favourite goal? Gab Malloy in the RSE has to be up there, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. See, I'm just jumping straight to what comes to mind, but there is so much other stuff. Kyler against Josephs, yeah, except I ruined it with the commentary.
Captain Marvel!
There has been a lot. Paddy Barrett's one against Pats and Tolke, always worth a mention, I think.
Cabral.
Oh, Jesus.
How has he not got a mention in that we kept him too long? He's only here 3 months.
But no, I'm going. Nothing will take away the Kerwin and Daly Mount, because at the time it was, we nearly cost them the European place. It secured Europe for us. The scenes that came after it were outrageous. And Dazzler, you'll know, the overflow of people, whether it's media or players that aren't togged out or whatever, go to that cow shed down the corner flag. So you literally get to just watch the game as a supporter. Like, you're not, don't have to watch what you're doing or watch what you're saying. And the scenes in that cow shed, Dazzler, were just magical.
Magical. I just remember being in the cow shed, but then
being on 7
seconds later, I'm on the pitch. I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble here. But then everyone was on the pitch, so
yeah, it was one of those rare moments where you end up on the pitch celebrating in Daly Mount, and you have that realisation where you kind of go, oh, I need to get off this pitch very quickly. So yeah, it's Kerr. It's Kerr in Daly Mount.
You know what? I think as well as that, Shells fans were enjoying the mono so much, they missed the antics of what happened at the Jody, because there was a security concern about the where we come off usually for the away day is the corner flag, and they didn't want that to happen. So they wanted every player and staff and coaches and officials to go through the tunnel, which is fine. But, you know, the players have been lording it over these Bose fellas for about 10 minutes, and they were, it was put to them that they had to do something. Like, these lads have just mugged you. We're 2-0 up, cruising. We were dog shit at the first half, and they completely fucked it up. And here we were going to Europe and laughing at them. And not metaphorically laughing at them, like physically.
Yeah, yeah. Literally looking into the stand laughing.
Literally looking into the stand laughing. And the seed. And there was one thing that happened. I won't say it on the podcast, but it is the most shocking thing and the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I've never seen anyone more surprised by anything. And then you get into the tunnel and there's punches raining down on a plastic tunnel. People are literally assaulting plastic. And it's glorious. It really was glorious.
And when all this was going on, it was like a war zone trying to get into that tunnel. There was lads scaling fences to get at the players and everything. And in the middle of all this, I had to grab Harry Wood and be like, Harry, get down the tunnel. He was just standing there looking into the stand like a sitting duck.
Yeah, because they're all screaming stuff at him, and he decided to give a bit back.
Like, not clever. Not clever. No. But yeah, an amazing day. It's 100% Kerr McEnroy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also up there, I think, for the Grown Men Meltdown Award. I think it'd be right in the mix.
Yeah, 100%.
The most embarrassing moment for you personally?
Oh, where do we fucking start here?
We've gone through your feuds.
We've had feuds.
Chopping players' heads off.
Yeah, not being able to. Well, the countless interviews that are lost forever because I didn't press record. Can we? No, we shouldn't really. The away European, not drink involved, but the. That's definitely your favourite moment of mine, Dazzler, anyway.
Which one?
The
more specific.
The sing song.
Oh, please tell that story.
Has enough time passed by now?
I think you owe it to the listeners to express yourself on the way out.
So where was that?
Zurich,
okay. So I didn't think this one would ever come out.
Everyone get your popcorn. You're going to enjoy this.
The way it works in those away European trips is, well, the way it worked for us. Oh, nearly falling over there. The players live a pretty grim life in the hotel. Club media are pretty much the same. Like, you're just pottering about, not really doing a whole lot of nothing. So after the players eat, generally we'll be allowed to eat the leftovers. It's pretty much the way it works. So we got caught on the hop in Zurich, and most people will know in professional football, new signings will do an initiation. So I had no idea this would extend to media people. So we were sitting after finishing our very average dinner in Zurich, and we were met with, lads, start picking a song. Yous are up. So, for a man who is painfully awkward at the best of times, I mean, this was hell on earth. Like, I strongly considered just jumping off my balcony.
Before or after?
No, before. After, I didn't care, because, like, oh, it was done. Like, it's done. I couldn't care less now. Like, I've made an absolute arse myself. But before it, my God. See that weight? While I was frantically going through my phone to try and pick a song. You boys went first. No, I went first, did I? No, Ben went first.
I went first.
Ben went first, did a stellar job. Very, very good. Got a bit of crowd involvement, the whole lot. No problem. And it was my turn. So, like, you want to go with something that the crowd will sing with you. Dazzler, I think you went with Teenage Dirtbag after me, didn't you?
Great memory, dude.
Yeah, very clever. Clever, because people will just sing it for you. I mean, I could have went with Oasis. I could have went Ring of Fire, Johnny Cash. Could have went I Walk the Line, Johnny Cash. Could have went Sweet Caroline. Could have done anything. Anything I could have sang. I settled on Will You, Will You. My thinking being, there's a great chance for people to sing the chorus in this, and I'll just have to do the in-between bits. Now, it wasn't until I was, first of all, getting onto the chair was a massive problem, because you have to stand on a chair, like a kitchen chair, in front of all these people.
Dude, I remember getting down off the chair.
You are?
I remember getting down off the chair, because I had just finished, and you walked up, and you're like, I can't get on that chair.
I was shaking, like, I was rattling, so unbelievably, like, nervous, and just, because the thing with it is, and I shouldn't be like this. I know I shouldn't, but, like, there's the little kid in me is like, this is great being on these European trips. Like, if 10-year-old me thought this had happened, like, you know, it'd be amazing. So, like, all of a sudden, I'm on this chair and I'm literally shaking on the chair. And I look out with all these players who are, like, just looking at me going, who is this fucking gobshite here? Then I heard, I still think it was Paul Skinner, before I had even started, just going, Jesus, he's shaking. And that just made it way worse. And then I got going, and as I was starting, I kind of went, a lot of these boys aren't Irish, and probably aren't going to know this song at all. Even a lot of the Irish boys probably won't. So I started, got to the chorus, and then remembered I hadn't told anyone they're supposed to sing the chorus, so in all my wisdom, decided to start again.
Oh, and instead of going with a different song the second time,
I did the same song again. And it was falling on its arse, and I remember pleading in the middle of singing. I just went, you know this one, boy, don't you? And he just started laughing at me. Everyone was just laughing at me. I'm pretty sure I remember getting words of encouragement from Davey Mack, like a real, go on, you can do it.
Keep going, you can do it.
You can do it. It just kept going and going and going, and it wasn't getting any easier. And eventually, obviously, somebody could tell by my face, like, this man's having a nervous breakdown. And the worst thing that I seen was, like, Irish hero, one of the best Irish players ever, had done amazing things with the Reds, got us back to Europe, the whole lot. Looked over at, I think, wasn't Luke kind of in charge of the whole thing? Looked over at Luke and gave it the cutthroat kind of thing, as if, like, shut it off. Shut it off now. And that was it. And Dazzler, you have one of the all-time funniest photos of Luke Byrne's face that will never see the light of day, but his face sums up the entire, it was probably 2 minutes, felt like 42 minutes.
It's duty on a chair, just red as a beetroot. It's Duffer mid, like, what? Disapproving head shake with his back completely turned to Doody. Originally, he had his back to Doody watching him, but he now he's just completely turned his back and is imploring Lukey to make this stop. And Lukey's just, his face is one of sadness, befuddlement, horror. It's like it's a Renaissance painting.
I'm physically sweating now just thinking about it. I genuinely am.
Oh.
Anyway, how did that even come about? That's my most embarrassing moment.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt.
Trying to sing. I'm not going to ask you for any more embarrassing moments because that is...
Yeah, it's not going to get any better.
The moment. Give us your Limbs and Talca Award. I'll give you a few suggestions for this. Obviously, the Dublin Derby games, Pats, Bows, Rovers. We bet them all in Talca of the Year. We won the league. An underrated one was the Moylan UCD goal, the third one, because that was just complete chaos. I never thought I'd enjoy beating UCD as much as I did.
Yeah. I wasn't there for that one, so I can't...
You have plenty to choose from.
Again, one that jumps to me is the Moylan goal in the cup. There was generational golden going on after that goal. Some of the best we've ever seen.
Coyler versus Joseph.
I was going to say, yeah, that one, obviously, I experienced it from above, so I wasn't dead, I was commentating. Staying up in the rafters.
Imagine Duty with a baseball bat.
Duty was sick and subsequently died.
Limbs and Talca. Again, one I wasn't there for, but that video of us winning the league in Derry, and you know they had the screens in Talca, that's pretty magical, that video as well. That's a very hard one. I think I'm going to go Moylan against Bowes.
Moylan against Bowes. That's a pretty good one. Starting to see a pattern here that a lot of your happy moments are when we do something bad to Bowes.
Yeah, I won't hide it.
The next award, and we're coming very close to the end of this shambolic ceremony, first ever Duty Awards. The lowest of the low, please.
Difficult.
Is it the cup final? Is it losing 3-0 to Finn Harps?
It's not the cup final. It's definitely not the cup final. Because I think everyone was just buzzing to be there. And I hate that attitude. But there was definitely a sense of that there. And look, the game was over well before. It's not like it was some last minute job or something.
And plus, an all-time night out followed.
Correct.
Did you just embarrassing that day as well, Duty?
The cup final?
Yeah. Did you not ask Sean Boyd, is he having a good day?
No, Sean Boyd asked us, were we having a good day after we'd lost the cup final 4-0? Boyd was checking into his room and we were beside him. And obviously just out of pure awkward desolation, he just didn't know what else to say. I was like, oh, he's having a good day, lads. Like, well, no, Sean, we just lost 4-0. How's your day going?
I had a great day. I think getting back to the cup final, I wouldn't call that a low.
No, definitely not. I'm trying to think now of like, we've been blessed in the last kind of 5 years not to have many, really. Finn Harps probably would be worth a mention, I would say. That was a real, like, everyone wanted Duffer sacked after it, and like, it was turned pretty bad after that. Another one probably wouldn't jump to people's heads, but do you remember the first game of the season where Pats hopped off us in Talca?
Yeah.
There was so much buzz around that game and everyone was so happy, so much excitement, and then it was like, oh no, here we go again. You know the worst I've actually felt in the last was Rijeka in Talca.
Oh yeah, that was...
That was the worst. That's definitely the lowest I've had. Because we were so, so close.
And we would have deserved to do it.
Yeah, Foxy, Tony Frook. Frook, I'll never forget his name. Tony Frook. Pig.
We're going to give it to Tony Frook. Duty, the one you've been waiting for, I'd say. The highest of the high.
Ah, it's Derry away, of course.
Derry away.
Yeah, it's Derry away.
Anything to add to it?
Yeah. Thanks, Ben.
Solid input, Ben.
No, I...
Cheers, Jeff.
spanking infield in Windsor is definitely an honourable mention there. Like, we absolutely embarrassed them. Completely and utterly embarrassed them.
Rudy, I think you need to talk about Derry winning the league there a bit more, because, like, that is, again, that is the all-time Shells night out. I remember coming home and you FaceTime your sleeping da.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much. Like,
sleep in the back of the car. Yeah, the league and Larkin's catching a few knees.
A very important point about winning the league in Derry. Owen Smith basically gave up his whole night of enjoyment by driving us to Derry. So Smith definitely deserves a mention there, because he listened to our complete garbage all the way back.
And all of our FaceTime calls.
Yeah, a lot of people FaceTime.
We got drunker as we got closer to Dublin.
Yeah, so. I was completely hammered.
Except for Owen Smith, it should be noted he wasn't.
Yeah. But
never drink and drive. You might hit a speed bump and spill your drink.
Yeah, I had this moment where I got to see my dad, my brothers, and my nephew on the pitch in Derry, which was a nice moment. We got a nice photo. But I was kind of rushing away from them, because, like, you'll know what that was like. It was carnage. You're trying to gather the players up, and it was just a bit mental. So on the way home, I decided, here, we'll FaceTime my dad, you know, have a bit of crack with him. And I tried to FaceTime him. My brother answered the call and held the phone up to my dad asleep in the back of the car about 40 minutes after winning the league in Derry, maybe.
Yeah.
What a legend.
And
that was the first person we saw when we got into the ground, and he goes, sure, we won't win, but didn't we get this far? Isn't it great?
Yeah. No. I actually think he said, we'll make a bollocks of it. But sure, at least we're in Europe or something like that, he said. So, yeah. A few other people FaceTimed. Jarvo, I believe, got a FaceTime.
He was buzzing.
Yeah, he was absolutely delighted. Who else did we FaceTime?
Moylan? Were we on to Jack?
I think we were, yeah.
Moylan got a FaceTime, yeah.
Yeah, so... But yeah, like, it's the undisputed highest of the high is Harry Wood.
One thing I won't forget about Derry is final whistle goes, and I'm like, right, I need to get in front of all these players so I can start, like, getting video. And I just start sprinting, but didn't actually have the camera on anyone. But it was just start running, basically. And I got however many shots I got, and I was trying to get a few bits, and I remember seeing Neil Doyle. And he just puts his hand in front of the camera, pushes it down, he says, just enjoy it. You have enough. I did have enough.
I spent the stoppage time of that game with one eye on what was happening. I was in the tunnel, and I had one eye on what was going on the pitch, and I had one eye on Johnny Watson, who was sitting on the step in the Brandywell. So to go to the dressing rooms, you go up a couple of sets of steps. Johnny was sitting on those steps, unable to watch the game, with his head in his hands. And they were peppering us, but they were putting balls into the box and stuff. And I will never forget Pat McElhenney turning around to me. And he obviously could see by my face how nervous I was. And he just, like, laughed, threw his eyes up to the sky, and he said, we won't score. And sure enough, they didn't. And as soon as the final whistle went, I grabbed Johnny by the face and just screamed in his face, we fucking did it! And then went to go onto the pitch, and then got so emotional that I couldn't. And as I have said before, the first person I seen after that was Paul Skinner, who gave me a hug, and the two of us just burst out crying. So yeah, that's probably the best way. Is that the last award, Dazzler?
There's actually some more awards. I don't even think they're worth giving out. I probably should have... We've got some jobber awards, but I think that's the big one.
Right, well, that's the one. Harry Wood, Derry, case closed. Now, come on, give me the funny ones. Enough of the serious stuff.
Next ex-Shells player to play for Ireland. I mean, there's only one answer, isn't there?
Yeah, Gavin Molloy.
Ooh.
Jack Moylan, obviously.
Yeah. Gavin Molloy. Hey, Steve, pass the ball. that leads me off nicely to an award that we call the That Didn't Happen Award. A moment so surreal and ridiculous, you find it hard to believe it happened. You're singing it be up there, Duty.
Yeah, again, my brain goes straight to, what's your man's name? Mara Picotto playing in the Baron Talca. That was definitely one where I was just looking, going, what on earth is happening here? The Sprinkler and UCD, anyone?
Oh, do you remember that? Jesus.
Where to go?
I remember after that, it was like, was it Duffer's second game, third game?
Yeah, it was a Monday.
Yeah, like it was very early on. And he was still wrapping his head around the whole media thing and how that works and what we do. And he saw us after the game and he saw us before the game. He goes, jeez, you're still here. I would have fucking went home if I were you. He still calls that the worst game of football I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's not wrong. He's definitely not wrong.
0-0 draw, wasn't it?
Yeah. See, I can never... I'm not good on the spot remembering stuff. I'm sure there's people shouting, going, what about this? What about that?
The lights against Derry?
Yeah. One for me, being asked by one of the Rijeka players in the aforementioned, my lowest of the low moment in the last 5 years, being asked to go and get him a bottle of Coke after we had lost. I was in the tunnel and he just didn't think anything of it, just came over. Excuse me, I'm looking for Coca-Cola. okay. Went off, tried to get the bottle of Coke, and was subsequently charged for it. And that lad did not put his hand in his pocket to pay me for the Coke either. That was pretty bad. That was really demeaning. Really demeaning. It was like, here, you Irish idiot, go and get me a bottle of Coke. I'm going to stick with Picotto, I think.
Duty, what about the you being famous in Zurich, no?
Oh, yeah.
The beard. We have crammed some amount of crap into this, you know that? Like, the jib stuff as well has completely gone under the radar. That's definitely up there with the embarrassing stuff as well. The commentary was just my face on YouTube. And constantly, I couldn't tell you what happened in that game because I spent the whole time blocking people in the chat. That kept saying, just turn the camera around. Do you think I would have if I could have?
Gone right off
it. Yeah,
they were pigs. They were absolute pigs.
Bin men.
We were
engineers.
When we got to Zurich, we were brought to their media center, they called it. And it was like, it was class, wasn't it? Fairness. Like, it's just.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was
unreal stuff. And we went down to meet their head.